Welcome to Reformation Platform Ministry. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please listen with your heart as the servant of God brings forth the Word of Life.
So, I want to thank God since the last 2 days, how God has been very faithful to us. Yesterday was a particularly important day in the meeting because of the way the Holy Spirit helped us to dig very deeply into the meaning of the kingdom of God. And it is from that point that we are going to continue this morning. The theme text that we'll be using for this meeting is Matthew 24, verse 14. Matthew 24 and verse 14. Matthew 24 and verse 14. Can you read for me, please? Matthew 24, 14. This and this good news
of the kingdom
and this gospel of the kingdom
of the gospel will be preached throughout the whole world.
Will be preached in all the world
as a testimony to all the nations.
As a witness to all the nations.
And then the end of age will come.
We have used the first 2 days to look at what is the gospel, then what is the gospel of the kingdom, and then yesterday we used it to look at what is the kingdom. So this morning we are going to be looking at what does it mean when we say this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. I sent something to Brother Busayo. What I sent to you is two notes actually, but it's put inside one. On another gospel, another spirit, and another Jesus. And then the different kinds of gospel that is preached today and they are not true. Those two notes have been sent to you. Please post it both on the website, for those who are on the website, and then post it also on the WhatsApp, Reformation Platform WhatsApp group, okay? So that way we can, so I could just make allusions to them. Are you getting it now? Because I don't have the time to be able to go into them. They are like Bible study notes. Sorry? Can you speak up, please? You've posted it where? On the platform. Can you put it somewhere on the website also so that those online can go there and see it? Amen. So, because why is it important that what the Lord is telling us is this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness? Why is that important? Like I said a few days ago, by the Holy Spirit, there is no other gospel except the gospel of the kingdom that was preached by our Lord Jesus Christ. And it was the good news that the kingdom of God is coming and the way of readmission into it. Are you getting it now? Has been opened by the sacrifice of Christ. Now, if you look at the material that has been sent to you, you will see that we live in a day and age where another Jesus has been introduced. Another spirit. That's what people are receiving. Where you can have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, so to speak, and you'll be fully living a life of sin. People are speaking in tongues, and it is not tongues given by the Holy Spirit. Because another spirit had been injected. Bible was talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4. If somebody comes to you and he presents to you another gospel, and you receive another gospel which we have not preached to you, and you receive another spirit which was not the Spirit of God, and you receive another Jesus. He was talking to the Corinthians. He said, "You do well. You know, you easily just accept everything, as if everything is like that." Now, the reason why the Lord Jesus has not returned is because the gospel of the kingdom has not been preached. And of course, those of us who were not here yesterday, I will tell you to go to, is it the website that you posted the messages? All of those messages, so that way you can follow it, you understand? Because it was extensively dealt with. So I will not be distracted by going back there, okay? Now, why is it important that this gospel must be preached? It is because if Jesus just comes, it's very easy for anybody to say, I didn't know that this is the truth. Amen. Do you get the idea now? So the gospel being preached is not even that, it's not even to compel the whole world to accept it or to receive Christ. No. It's just to give God a witness so that God will be righteous. So that even when people have rejected the truth as it is in Jesus Christ, they can be condemned for rejecting the truth. Are you following me? That's the purpose. Is it clear up to this point? Okay. The Lord Jesus told us in that passage that we read, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached all over the world." Amen. "As a witness to all the nations. And then the end shall come." By the time we are finishing the meeting today, we can now come to the last part of the outline of that verse, Sabi. "And then the end shall come." We can look at that by that time, all right? But if this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, then a very important matter arises. Something that we ought to look at. Who will preach this gospel of the kingdom? Amen. Why is this question important? I don't know how many of you have seen that note that is sent. If you've seen it, can you raise your hand? Okay. You will notice something in the two notes that are sent. In the note that is sent that has two different things inside it, right? You will see that some very popular thing that is being taught today all over the world in the body of Christ, many of them are put there. And the verdict of Scripture, what the Bible is saying about those things, how the Bible is proving that those things are lies, is also put there, right? Now, if all of those things, you know, prosperity gospel, people presenting the law of Moses as if that is the gospel, people telling you that if you keep some laws, you'll be righteous and all manner of things like that, things that can't save anybody. Things like paranoia gospel, where you are just paranoid. You are told there's one enemy in the village. You know, all manner of funny things. The moment a person embraces those things, he enters. You know, what he has received is another gospel. What you are told, it doesn't matter if you want to believe that Jesus is Lord and that he will save you. You must go through deliverance. You must be delivered. Have you gone for deliverance class? And like I said, if somebody ever asks you that question, ask him if he has gone for deliverance. Because you need to be delivered from that nonsense. If Jesus said on the cross, as his life blood was flowing out, it is finished. And then one human being that didn't die for you is telling you that it is not finished. Except you come to their place where they do deliverance for people. It is your choice who you are going to believe. I would rather believe Jesus, who shed his blood and his life on my behalf. And he said it is finished. These are the lies that people have embraced, and they embraced it maximally, with branches everywhere. Amen. Who then will preach this gospel of the kingdom that is supposed to be a witness? So you are like, you see, there's a place in the New Testament, I will try and look for it as we are talking on. The Lord Jesus said, anyone who hears my teachings, if I sent you, and if people hear your teachings and accept your teaching, they have accepted me, Jesus Christ. And they have accepted him, the Father, who sent me. So, what does that tell you? Anyone who doesn't accept it, who is it that the person is not accepting? It is Jesus. And it is God. Because what all these people who preach false doctrine or false gospel and who give false spirits, alright, and who ask people to trust in a false Jesus, all what they give, because they do not represent the Lord, neither do they even know his plans. Even when you have accepted them, you have accepted emptiness. You have accepted something that can't even help you. Amen. Please, are you following me? That's what you have accepted. Something that cannot save you. But Jesus said, if you accept the gospel of the kingdom that I taught, if you accept the people I sent, who have you accepted? You have accepted me. So you are seeing the importance now that message has to be preached. But then, like I said before, who will preach this gospel of the kingdom? The answer is also very clear. The answer is what? It is those of us who have received that gospel that will do what? That will teach it. It's those of us who what? Who have received that same gospel that will teach it. We will look at three passages to expatiate it further. The first is a very interesting passage where even in the Old Testament, the only place the gospel was preached. Amen. That is what I will talk about first. But write down these scriptures. Galatians 3, verse 7 to 9. Hebrews 11, verse 8 to 10. Verse 13 to 16. And 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Amen. Amen. Why Galatians 3, 7 to 9 is very important is this. The preacher was God the Father himself. This gospel was before the coming of Christ. And the person that the father was preaching the gospel to, was telling about the kingdom, was Father Abraham. Because he accepted that gospel that the father himself preached to him. That's why today we are all the children of Abraham. I mean, those who will have faith, just the same way Abraham had faith in God. Let us go there so that we can see the Bible directly, and it's not that, it's not just me talking. Galatians 3:7-9. King James or New King James is fine.
Galatians 3:7-9.
Yes.
Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham.
And do you know that only people who have faith in God, as we are going to be seeing soon now in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 to 10, then verse 13 to 16, where, you know, that scripture that was read earlier this morning, was it Staronke that read it at the prayer session? How people see this promise from afar, and they were persuaded by this promise, and they embraced it, and they confessed and declare that they are strangers and pilgrims in this present world. Whoever is like that is actually a child of Abraham. But those who will say, show me the thing, let me be sure that it's real first before I can believe, those sons are not children of Abraham. Because Abraham believed God even when, you know, even against hope, even when it is impossible. You understand? Even when you can't even make any sense of it because it's not tangible, it's not something you can hold. Yet, by just what God showed him, he judged God righteous and faithful. So God also judged him righteous. Amen. Read on, please. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham.
And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen.
And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith.
Preached before the gospel unto Abraham.
Who is the person that preached the gospel to Abraham? That's why I told you there's no other gospel. There's just one. And it does, and you know, so that you're not confused, that's why I sent you that material of all the forms of gospel that we know that are presently in this world. And you will notice very well, I wrote and so on and so forth. Don't assume that the nine that I've sent to you are everything. Satan keeps helping them to develop new types. They're always busy. But there's only one genuine gospel. And it was that gospel that the Father gave to Abraham. Sorry, that the Father gave to Jesus, but which the Father had preached by himself to Abraham. And Abraham had accepted. There's only one gospel. Doesn't matter what noise people are making. It doesn't even matter if millions are following them. It will only aggravate and increase their punishment. I'm talking about the people that peddle those things. Yes? It says, and the scriptures, foreseeing that God will justify the Gentiles by faith. What happened though?
Preached before the gospel unto Abraham.
God preached the gospel unto Abraham. What was the preaching? Who remembered now when God was telling Abraham in Genesis 12, when he called him? You know, most of us think it was just a promise now. No, it was God preaching to him that in him, in what? In Abraham, will all the nations be blessed. I want to remind you of something very quickly. In this same passage that we are in Galatians 3, Abby, I want you to look very quickly at verse 16. We have not read verse 9. Eh? But I just want to show you something quickly. In verse 16, the same chapter that we are on in Galatians 3.
Now to Abraham
and his seed where this promise is made.
He said not. And to seeds.
As of many.
But as of one.
To seed as of one.
And to thy seed. Which is Christ.
And that seed is who?
Christ.
It is Jesus. So when God was actually talking to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, from verse 1, all of that promise before he now left all of the Chaldea, okay? He was preaching to him the gospel that a day is coming. Christ will come. And he will come through your line. And he will bring deliverance for all mankind. Such that all of mankind can now enter into the kingdom of God. As many of them as accept and believe. The same faith that Abraham will have. You know, at this time, Abraham had not even yet had this experience of faith. This was the beginning. So when you are told that what we are telling you is Jesus of Jehovah Shap, God answer now, you should know that is not of God. God is not a magician. What did I say?
God is not a magician.
God is not a magician, no. God is the author of signs and wonders, but he's not a magician. And there's always a process by which he does his things. And the process is a process of faith. How does it work? God gives you a promise. And he doesn't give you any physical evidence. He just gives you a promise. And he expects you to believe his word because of who he is. Amen. And when you do, you see everything. Even when Abraham was telling him that, Lord, in Genesis 15, you have promised me so much and you have blessed me with so much, but I don't have an heir. Was this man not over 80 something by the time? Eh? But God told him. He said, will it be Eliezer of Damascus that will now inherit everything that I have? He said to him, this man will not be your heir. But you see, your own seed that comes from your own loins, that will be your heir. What else? Did God put something on him and say, receive now? Did he do that? No, he just spoke. In fact, when he told him that, he said, you know what? Come. I want to make this thing certain for you. And he followed him. Because he was talking to God in his tent. You understand? God told him to come outside of the tent. So he came out and it was night. You get? When he came outside of the tent and he looked up. I asked him to look up. And he asked him to count the stars. And he told him, if you are able, because so shall your seeds be. And Abraham looked up. I looked at the stars. He found that he couldn't count. But he believed. And at that point, God considered him as what? A righteous man. It is Abraham's kind of faith that we must have if we have received Abraham's kind of gospel, the one that God Almighty himself preached to him. But I'm asking you, literally speaking, did he have a son? Eh? I'm saying that after God made that promise to him, was a son born to Abraham?
Yes.
How many sons was Abraham asking for?
One.
Do you know Abraham had more than four sons? I'm not even talking about Ishmael. After the death of Sarah, he still got married. Other sons were still, born by him. When he was just hoping for just one. And yet all that physical thing wasn't what God was talking about.
But since a child was important for Abraham, no problem. He won't just have a child. He even changed his name from Exalted Father, that's the name of Abraham in Hebrew, to Abraham, the father of many nations. Do you know that the father of Arabia and Israel is the same Abraham? All the nations of Arabia, all the Arabs, their father is Abraham. We are going back now to verse 9 that we have not yet read.
So they, which be of faith,
are blessed and faithful Abraham. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. You know the way this matter is, how much was explained yesterday, right or wrong? Those of you that were here yesterday, you know how much time we expended, how much scriptures we opened, so that you can see that this thing is real. Amen. So then, those people who are of faith, whether Jew or Gentile, are blessed and favored by God and declared free of the guilt of sin and its penalty, and placed in right standing with him, along with Abraham, the believer. So ideally, who is the first believer? You know, we call ourselves believers. You know, we believers. Who is the first believer? It's Father Abraham. That's the ultimate example of faith as a normal human being, an ordinary human being. Why am I talking about this thing so much? Because who will preach this gospel? It is those of us who have seen the promise of the kingdom of God from afar, and have been persuaded by them, and have embraced them, and have been convinced by them, and we are now confessing like Father Abraham that we are what? Oh, strangers and pilgrims in this world. We have nothing in this world, because this world is not our own, and this world is not for us. Amen. That is the person who will preach this gospel. So we are going to read the Hebrews 11, 8 to 10, 13 to 16 now.
Hebrews 11, 8 to 10.
By faith.
Abraham. When he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive one inheritance.
Yes.
Obeyed.
Yes.
And he went out.
Yes.
Not
knowing where he was going. Yes.
By faith.
He
sojourned in the land of promise.
He lived as a foreigner in the land of promise.
As in a strange country.
Please hold on. That's the first thing. You cannot be so domesticated by the system of this world in this world and have an eternal hope. Did you hear what I said? What does it mean to domesticate? You know, the Holy Spirit deliberately used that word. What does it mean to domesticate? You can look it up in a dictionary. It's fine. Because that's where I'm going. Okay. But it's more than that. Look it up in a dictionary so that it will be easy for you to get it. The word domesticate. Use a dictionary. Maybe you have a dictionary. Use a dictionary. It will surprise you what it means. Domestication is a process by which the nature and essence and dignity of what a creature or creation is changed into something else.
To become adapted. To life in a household.
Imagine that somebody is a tiger now. When a tiger is domesticated,
it becomes a pet.
Make someone fond of and good at home.
I didn't hear that.
Like make him feel at home.
Make someone to be at to feel at home. How will you feel at home in a world that is not your own? And then you are hoping, when Jesus comes, I have an eternal hope. When you are already domesticated. When you domesticate a lion, it becomes a pet. The righteous are supposed to be as bold as what? It becomes a pet. Whose pet? Pet of the household in which he is domesticated. So if it is the world system that domesticated you, you become a pet of the devil. Anytime you want to say, let me break out of this and be serious with God, Satan will just threaten you. The Nepal people will call. Meta will read. This and that one will happen. And then, gently, you know the way you take a cane. You just return to where you're supposed to be. The man who received this gospel could not be domesticated. That's why they said clearly that I'm a foreigner in this world. Wild animals are supposed to live in the what? In the wild. That's how they are called what? You know, some of us think that when you say wild animal, they may be like, No. The word wild animal means that they live outside. You understand? But a domesticated animal is one that lives inside. Do you get the idea now? Domestic. You understand? Wild animals, another thing about them is this, they are free. Domesticated animals are not free. In fact, there's a leash that can be put on their neck. And then they carry you up and down to show you off. So, this your Rottweiler is fine, oh. They could even pour some milk. Oh, you start lapping it. Even your meal will change. When you are domesticated. When this gospel was given to Father Abraham, so that he would not be domesticated, what happened to him? He was separated from this world and from the people of this world. He even left, you know, the father told him in Genesis 12, he told him, he said, leave your father's house, leave your country, and leave your relatives to a land I will show you. He didn't even tell him, you know, there's no forwarding address in case they want to write a letter. Nothing like that. But if you ask him, where are you going? He said, I don't know. He told me he will show me the place. So you know that was not the only place where God showed Abraham the place. When he was supposed to go and sacrifice Isaac, he told him, to a mountain I will show you. That's a life of faith. You have to be able to believe. So even when people are asking, okay, this one that you are leaving this place, Abraham, where are you going? If we want to write letters to you, which address should we write to? Say, we don't know. He has not yet told us. Say, are you all right like this? Is that not the way the world talks? Even if somebody is relocating, it is normal for him to have a forwarding address. But if he was to have a forwarding address, it is, how can I put this? It is a string of temptation. Such that if where you are going is too hard, what do? You know how to return to where you were coming from. So God didn't even tell him where he was going. So even if 10 years has passed, Abraham will have to ask, Lord, are we there yet? Such that all the people he knew, the places he grew up from and all of those things. What happened though? He had severed from them completely. Because God's promise to him is to father Not just a nation, but nations. And as long as it's domesticated, can it become anything? No. It's the same way. If you're not a foreigner in this world, they will domesticate you. You understand? The world wants you to feel at home. The world wants you to forget about that eternal hope. And that eternal home. We are still reading on. Said, and by faith, he lived as a foreigner. There's something there that I see that I want to talk about quickly. Scripture said, by faith, he lived as a foreigner. If you must walk by faith, how will you be living? As a foreigner, as a pilgrim. That's how you live. But if you want to walk by sight, no problem. You don't need to be a foreigner. You only need to be part of this world and all what this world represents and what this world is doing and what this world is about. I'm praying this morning because I have only one session to teach this thing. That your deliverance and your severance from this present world will be a concluded deal by the end of this meeting. The Lord helped me to understand these things very early. That's why I'm not a worldly person. When they say they want to do birthday, you see, I have no interest. There's where I'm going. Am I saying by this? I say, no. It's okay for domesticated people. It's fine. Say, we need to do something, remembrance. We need to do... This is where I'm going. Amen. And my life is timed. My life is what? I'm only here for a season. And I understand it. When I was speaking about this yesterday evening, it was telling me what will be after this message, what I must be working on. If you must walk by faith, you will be a stranger in this world. But if you must walk by sight, you will feel at home. He lived as a foreigner in the promised land, as in a strange land. Living in tents with Isaac and Jacob. And heirs with him of the same promise. Hold on. Do you understand that? This same promise, the same gospel that was given to him by God the Father, he brought his children into it. He brought his grandchildren into it. It got so serious that when God began to appear to those people, Isaac and then Jacob, God no longer said, I am the Almighty. He said that to Abraham. Do you remember? Walk before me and be perfect. Right? He began to say to each of them, I'm the God of your father, Abraham. Amen. That tells you what? Not only am I his God, all the agreements and the promises I made to him, they are intact. And they are binding on you if you want it. Are you getting it now? You can enjoy the same grace, the same things, if you will accept me as who I am with your father. We can continue the same relationship. Even if your father... it's no longer on the same. Amen.
when Isaac went and Jacob came, what happened? Whenever God is now introducing himself, what does he say? I'm the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. That's what he said to Jacob. When Jacob left, up to this our own day, what does he tell us also? Since we are there, we are from their lineage. What does he tell us? I'm the God of your father, Abraham. The God of your father, Isaac. The God of your father, Jacob. Amen. Who were fellow heirs with him of the same promise. When Christ came and we embraced Christ, it says, those that are Christ's are what? Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You've not seen that place before. Let me show you. I want you to look at, in fact, it's that same chapter 3 of Galatians. There's so much in that place. Verse 29. Yes?
And if you be Christ.
If you belong to Christ.
Then you are Abraham's seed.
Then you are Abraham's seed.
And heirs according to the promise.
And what?
Heirs according to the
promise. Did we just read now? That the promises that God gave to Abraham was to Abraham and to his lineage. Mm-hmm. Huh? Are you not a seed of Abraham? And are you not a heir of the same promise that God promised to Abraham through Christ? That's what you are. We are reading on. Verse 10 now. Why was Abraham living in tents? For he was waiting expectantly. Please don't be in a hurry. He was waiting expectantly. And he was waiting confidently. Looking forward to the city which has foundations. That is an eternal city. Sorry, an eternal heavenly city. Yes? Whose architect
and maker
and builder
is God.
Brethren, we live in a day and age where men, where they think God has forgotten his promise. So they are into so many things, you know. I remember a particular case. You know the period when there was what do they call that? ZMMM, they call that thing, and some other Ponzi scheme. So somebody told me about it that, you know, I can be part of this thing, you know, since I lead people and all of that, you know, they will do this, do that. I replied and I told the person. I said, I cannot be involved in that kind of thing. And the reason is simple. It will be an abuse of my office. I never even knew that somebody else was watching me. He didn't advise me I shouldn't be part of it. He was watching me to see what I would do. It was after I said that to the other person who brought the thing. That was when he now said, ah, now I know you're a genuine servant of God. I was waiting to see what you would do. So I will now tell you, I don't know what they call it. I know it's network marketing. I don't know the language that they use. And so, you know, you'll be under me. Is that what I was sent to go and do? When people are domesticated, I still say, that's when
they are, you know, they feel at home in this world. People believe that when you have been in ministry for a long time, there should be a time when God will settle you. Hallelujah. People forget that God is not an evil man. Yeah. It's, so it is something else that it means. It's not those things. Yeah. No, read the whole thing. Don't just go and pick one set two and believe that that's the only thing that's there. Because that's not the only thing that's there. So when it's settling you, you know, you'll now be a large congregation. New, brand new cars. And then, you know, people start serving you. My reward is in heaven. Amen. My question to you is this. Oh yeah, look at me now. I'm waiting for you, since you are the one that said it. When was Paul settled? Did he not say up till now? We still lack. People don't like reading the Bible. Was he not beheaded? Because the world must hate you if you belong to God. Because the world hates the world, hates the Lord. You understand? But this one where the world is doing a word, and then they are calling you. You know what one man of God did once? When worldly people in Germany called him, that you come and take an award. He went. Maybe the Lord asked him to go. So he took the award. And as they acclaimed for him, he said, you know, they'll give him a microphone to say something. He said, Lord, the world hated my master. What have I done wrong that's making the world to love me? I don't know how they rushed him off the pulpit. What have I done wrong that the world is not giving me a word? He was waiting for a city that has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. It is only the people who have embraced this gospel that can preach it. Amen. Control the children, please. Amen. In verse 13, where is Ruth that's reading the Bible for me? From verse 13. Yes. All of these people died in faith.
Not having received the promises.
That is, hold on. That is, they were guided and sustained by their faith in God. Even when they have not yet received any tangible fulfillment of God's promises. Yes?
But
they saw them from afar. And that's what I'm praying for you. You know, I said yesterday that when Satan showed Jesus the glory of this present world, what did I say? The Lord Jesus said to him, get thee behind me. Why? Because there's something in front of me. And you are blocking my view. Carry this your nonsense. All this your pangolo. Carry it to the back. You're always creating new things. Because there's a curse on everything that comes from the world. It always expires. What I'm looking at, according to 1 Peter 1:4, is to an inheritance. Incorruptible. Undefiled. That fadeth not away. Reserved in heaven for you. I don't want what fades with time. And that's why Satan hates such men. Men who cannot be threatened. Men who tell the devil. When the devil say, see your mate. Men who laugh at the devil. And say, who are my mates? Sir, the people that you finish school with, see now, this one is doing this, this one is doing that. You say, ah, sorry, Lucifer. My mates, are in the cloud of witnesses, and they are waiting to see if I will make it. I don't want to enter into a room in New Jerusalem and godly men who are gone of old are there. You know, they say what I find is level. No be so. And I see people who believed God. And then if I came into the room and said, sorry, uncle, sorry. And they said, no, why are you saying that? I said, no, this is not my class. And they didn't even have a Bible. And they were able to do that much. I know now. Those are my mates. He doesn't say the truth. Who told you that your classmates are your mates? Will they be judged with you? No. They won't be judged with you. You have only one set of classmates. And it is fellow believers who will stand at the judgment seat of Christ with you. Those are your mates. Amen. Yes.
And we are persuaded of them.
They were persuaded of them.
And embraced them.
And they embraced them.
And
they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
Okay.
Yes.
For they that say such things.
Hold on. So if you don't want to be domesticated, like I was saying before, you have to know that in this world, what are you? I'm a stranger. I'm only passing through this place. I'm not a citizen. It's because I don't have time. When they are talking of human rights, they are talking of human rights among themselves. They don't talk about Christians. And as a Christian, which human rights are you asking for? You're asking for justice from the system of this world? Really? So Satan's people will like you. They won't like you. It's just the way things are. But will the Lord ever forsake you? Never. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, He delivers them from how many? From all of those afflictions, He will deliver you. The world cannot do that for you. Go ahead, please.
14. For they that say such things declare clearly that they seek the country.
The people who say such things, they are declaring plainly. They are saying plainly that they are looking for a country. A country of their own. Yes?
And truly? If they had been mindful of that country.
If they had been mindful of that country.
From whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned.
If they were thinking of the country from which they departed as their true home, they would have had a continuing opportunity to return. Yes?
16.
Yes?
Now they desire a better country.
But the truth is that they were longing for a better country.
That is
a heavenly country.
Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their
and
God.
And this is the reason why God is not ashamed to be called their God.
For He had prepared for them a city.
Because He had already prepared for them a city. Those of you that were here yesterday, you knew the way the whole thing was described. It's been prepared. He's already prepared. People don't enter into the kingdom of God by accident. No. Let me simplify it for you. Can somebody just come out of his house and he has no plan of where he's going? Eh? And he's hoping that by the end of the day, he'll be at Kano. And how he does it is just by entering any bus that comes to his mind or that he feels. He doesn't even listen to where they are calling him. By the end of the day, will he come down and say, I'm at Kano? Is it possible? Is that not something physical that I'm talking about? Eh? Okay, let us even say, you know, Kano is far. Shay? Let's even say within Lagos. Somebody who lives at, let us say, Egbeda now, comes out from his house, and enters any bus. So you know some of the buses intrastate, that's within the state, and some it is interstate. So without preparation, just enter any bus. Then they drop you somewhere, from there they drop you somewhere, then you enter interstate bus. Because you still have some money with you. Do you know if you are not if you are not careful, you could be a bidder. And there'll be no money to come back. Because somebody needs to have your head examined. Because something must have been wrong with you to have just come out of your house and think that by entering just any bus, you will find yourself somewhere you want to be. If that cannot be done in a physical sense, why do we think that when it comes to the kingdom, the very kingdom of God, that somebody can enter into it without a deliberate plan that me, I must get home. You won't just jump on any bus. If they are calling, no matter how the, what do you call those people? No matter how much they are saying, the things that they are saying, you will be very, say, well, I beg, I don't want anybody to just tell me one nonsense. You will not jump on any bus. In the same way, the noise. In the same way, you don't just believe anything and think that they are on their way to heaven. Who told you? Do you know the number of ministries and churches Satan has opened? Do you know the number of people who had a call and it was never God that called them? And they are so sure, I heard the voice, the Lord told me. The Lord told, that's what they are saying. But they didn't say which Lord. There are many Lords. That's in verse 16 again. Yes.
But now they desired a better country.
They desired a better country.
That is an heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God.
Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he has prepared for them a city. Amen. So if the gospel must be preached, I mean the gospel of this gospel of the kingdom must be preached, who are the people that will preach it? Like I said before, it must be people who had accepted it. They are the only ones that are capable of teaching it. Can you tell somebody to come and eat something? Can you say, and it's sweet though? And then they ask you, but have you eaten it before? No. Do you understand? Why should they believe you? You say it's sweet, but you have not eaten it before. Do you see the problem now? Do you see why the gospel of the kingdom has not been preached? Because the number of people that had even experienced it are very few. Amen. Not only have they accepted and received this gospel, but the Lord Jesus also expects everyone who has accepted and received this gospel to carry the same good news everywhere. Amen. Amen. It's only those who have partaken in it that can carry it everywhere. And the early church, that's the way it was done.
So even when they were persecuted, are you getting it? Like if you look at Acts 8, you know, after the persecution of the church at the time of Stephen, the people that were persecuted, they were dispersed. Many of them lost their properties. Many of them lost their families. But there was only one thing that they took with them. This same good news. Do you know why you don't preach? Do you know why? You have not seen it. You haven't seen it. When you see it. And that's why I mentioned yesterday and I'm mentioning again today. I want you to go and download the book, Unveiling the Coming Kingdom. I'll give you another material, The True Gospel According to Jesus Christ. Okay? We talked so much yesterday about the eternal inheritance of the saints. Abby? And some of us are wishing, but what can I do that I can have everything? What was my answer yesterday? Lay down your life. Of course, you will have it if you lay down your life. We're expected to carry this good news everywhere. When Jesus was talking to his disciples, all right, when he was to ascend to heaven, was it pastors and bishops that he gathered together and he told, go and preach the gospel to all creation? No. In fact, the pastor congregation thing, who brought the divide? Who brought that demarcation? Is it Jesus? You said what? Okay. Jesus talked to 500 brethren at the same time before he ascended. And he told all of them, go ye and preach this gospel of the kingdom. Go and announce that I'm coming back. But because we are a bunch of very disobedient people, and we only like to please God according to what pleases us, we start building buildings. Then we start inviting people. So let people come inside the church. Then we tell them what the Lord has said. No, the early church went everywhere, and they covered everywhere with the message. What I'm saying has nothing to do with, you know, we are telling you these things so that you can bring people to a reformation platform. No. I even have no interest in you bringing anybody here. Go outside there, tell them the message. When they have received it, start meeting with them personally. I have no problem. Get off your butt and start doing something. That's what's important. If you know the number of people that are in bondage, if you know the number of people that are lost, if you know the number of people that dies daily and they are going to a Christless, they are going into a Christless eternity, and there's no God, I'm sorry, I will change. I promise I will change. There's nothing like that. The place where people are plenty, it's a place where they are telling them, receive now, receive, take your own. That's where people are playing. He told us in Mark 16, we should go and preach the gospel to all nations. He told us in Matthew 28, verse 19, go and make disciples of all the nations. Did he not say so?
In Isaiah 6, 8 to 9, very quickly, Isaiah 6, 8 to 9, I'm wrapping up. Sorry? No, it's fine, it's fine. You can use your, it's fine. Isaiah 6, 8 to 9. Yes. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, and may you hear this afternoon.
Amen.
Yes?
Whom shall I send?
God is asking in heaven. And I'm hoping that you are hearing. Who will I send? And who will go for us? Can you see the word go the third time? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Mark 16, verse 15, right? Go into all the world. Go and make disciples of all nations. Matthew 28, verse 19. Now in Isaiah, the Lord is saying what again? Who will go for me? Yes?
Then I said,
then me, I responded and said,
send me.
Lord, here I am. Please send me.
And he said, go and say to this people.
It's okay there. So in response, God now says, okay, since you have made yourself available, go and say to these people. Do you want me to, because we are wrapping up, do you want me to be very blunt with you? If I'm going to be blunt with you, the truth that I'm going to tell you is this. If you do not respond to this cry, you will never arise beyond your needs. I didn't curse you. I just told you the simple truth. If you will not, so I will repeat it again. If you will not respond to this cry of God and to this need of fellow men, let me tell you, you will never arise beyond your needs. See, you can be a billionaire, you will still find out that you are always needy. You can have all the cars, all the... You just find out that you are never satisfied because you are meant for more. You understand? You are meant for more. In fact, announcing this kingdom is now the only thing we are expected to live for, as we have been individually given a ministry and we have been individually also given an ambassadorial appointment. Let me tell you also again that there are some people, the only person that can reach them is you. Should I explain it to you? There are certain people that I will never be able to reach. You are the only person they will listen to. Because they know you. There are certain people that she can reach that you can never reach. There are certain people he can reach that you will never reach. That's the way the Lord did it. It is church that has messed up everything. Because people have ambition other than the ambition of the Lord. We are going to be praying and we are going to be reading several scriptures as we are praying. Amen. Second Corinthians 5:14 to 15. 2 Corinthians 5:14 to 15. After we read that, we will stand up to pray. The prayer session may take a while because we need to pray through several things. Okay?
For the love of Christ.
Read very well now.
For the love of Christ.
For the love of Christ constrains us.
Because we judge
in this way.
That if none died for all.
For the love of Christ controls and compels us, because we have concluded this, that one died for all. Yes?
Then we're all dead.
Therefore, all died. Didn't Jesus die for all of us?
He did.
And at the point Jesus died for all of us, what happens to every one of us who believe in him? We are dead too. I'm sure you remember that from the December retreat. That my life ended. And a new life is supposed to begin. Right? Yes?
And that he died for all.
And that he died for all.
That they which live.
Should
not henceforth.
Will
for themselves.
No longer. What's the meaning of the word henceforth?
From now on.
From now on. They should no longer live for themselves. Are you getting it? What have you been living for? They should no longer live for themselves, yes?
But unto him which died for them.
But they are expected to live for him who died for them.
And rose again.
And he rose again. Jesus is not a taskmaster. He's not even asking you for what he had not first of all done. Amen. You know, I told you that we're going to be praying. Let us stand up. He's not even asking you for what he had not first of all done. No. The first thing that I want us to pray about is about that scripture in Isaiah that we read, chapter 6 and verse 8 to 9, when he said, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." This morning is crucial. And that's why it's a morning when I want us to pray. Your life is meant for more than raising children and making money. Your life is infinitely meant for more. Don't join the rest of the world and live for what will not count. And keep competing with one another and all of those things that cannot satisfy anybody. You need to carry that message. You need to tell people, Jesus is coming. This and this and this is what his kingdom will look like. And that's why I kept telling you, you can go to the website, download the book for free. Study it yourself. See, so that it's not that somebody is talking to you. It's on our website, reformationplatform.com, unveiling the coming kingdom. And later I will still add another resource on the true gospel. But you have more than enough. There are people that you are the only one that can reach them. There are people that if you don't reach them on the final day, when the results are showing, you will see people that you should have reached that you never bothered. And then you will expect eternal rewards. So. Abby? I want us to begin to pray. First of all, prayers of forgiveness for lost opportunities. Some of them have died. First of all, prayers of forgiveness for lost opportunities. Opportunities that the advantages were not taken. So that somebody can see the truth. Somebody can see Jesus. I want you to pray and ask God to forgive you for lost opportunities. Opportunities to witness. opportunity to be God's hand to help several people, and you never raised a finger. People's lives were damaged because you never did those things. But this is still you. Oh, God came for you. The same opportunity that you didn't give to some people, God is giving you this morning. He's giving you. Imagine the number of people in Lagos. Imagine how many people have believed lies and they are holding it so seriously. And if they die like that, they are going to hell. It's not anything. I want you to plead with the Lord. That, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. The matter, first of all, is not how will I do it. I don't have the power. I've not been trained. No, the matter, first of all, is to even accept that I have responsibility. That's the matter, first of all. The matter, first of all, is not how will I do it. I don't have any power. That's not it. There's power in the Holy Spirit. There's the grace of God. There's the grace of God. The very first thing is to even accept that I have responsibility. There's what God has expected me to have done, and I have not been faithful. That's the first thing. The Lord is still saying this morning, you cannot continue like this. I said, and I'm repeating it again, if all you are concerned about are your needs, you will never rise beyond your needs. Because your work is not to provide for your own needs. God's work is to provide for your needs. If you do not respond to this call, you will never rise beyond your needs. Instead of having God meeting you at every point of your need, you will not find it to be so. You will keep running up and down to make ends meet. Ask that the Lord will forgive you for every lost opportunity. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Please look at me. You know, I said while we're praying, I said there's now another opportunity. Maybe you don't understand what I mean, so I'll tell you that opportunity. God is in the business presently of facing out some people and tearing up several places that they've been guarding and they've just been lying to people. That's what he has said he was going to do, and he's prepared to do it. But if you are not coming in into the labor, let me tell you, Mordecai told Esther, if you do not respond, salvation will arise for God's people from another place. But you and your father's household, you may not be spared. Nigeria got to this point because people who should rise up did not. That's why every liar and every charlatan have become ministers. They are not only guilty. You are part of that guilt because you are busy running up and down for your own life. You are an enabler in that process. Many of them start churches. They offer to demons and devils the lives of people as sacrifice so that what they are doing can continue. It is because truth is scarce. And it still remains that there are people only you can reach. We are going to pray as we read this scripture. It says, And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. If you want to say so, I want you to raise your hand. If you want to say to the Lord, here am I, send me. I want you to raise your hand. And as you are raising your hand, talk to him that, Lord, see my hand. Oh, I'm raising my hand to be counted. Lord, send me. Let my life and destiny matter. Brethren, what God is intending to do, we are at the end of the age. And what he's intending to do is to reach out to Africans and use Nigeria to reach out to Africa and the rest of Nigeria and Africa to reach out to the whole world. That's what he wants to do. I want you to tell him, Lord, here I am. Send me. Here am I. Send me. Here I am. Send me. Here am I. Here am I. Send me. As the Lord God wants somebody. Here am I. Send me. Here am I. Here am I. Send me. Here am I. Here am I. Send me. As the Lord wants somebody. Here am I. Send me.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about a transformation. For further inquiries or counsel, please contact us on 0814-0399-782, 0818-7282-363, 0803-3483-058, or visit our website at www.reformationplatform.com. God bless you.